Praise God. I want to read to you out of Galatians, the 6th chapter, verse 1. It says, brethren, even if anyone is caught in any trespasses, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, and each one look into yourself, so that you too will not be tempted. But bear one another's burdens, and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. Listen, if there's anything that we need to hear, is we need to know that we will stumble, and that others will stumble, and sometimes pretty big stumbles. But those of us who are spiritual, our commission is to restore people, not to condemn them, not to judge them. You know, I've got one missionary. He thinks I've never made a mistake almost, you know, in my life. And I said to him, I said, I just want to say thank God he saved me. Thank God he didn't give up on me. I know at a young age I knew I could be an extremely evil man. I looked into the darkness and it scared me, because I knew I was capable. And that's one of the things that caused me, God, if you use me, use me. If you're not going to use me, take my life. Because I don't want to hurt people. And I knew if I didn't go with him that I was going to hurt people. And thank God for my prayer. There's a young man that was in our school years ago. Freshman year. Is this cutting in and out? I wonder why. Oh, the batteries are up. Any idea? All right. Well, I'll try. Maybe just strong anointing. Who knows? I put just new ones in. I think it's okay. anyway, he came, and I knew his family. You guys know his family, and he called and said, can I meet with you? And I said, so we met yesterday for a little bit, and so I was catching up with his story. I hadn't really followed it all the way through. He said, yeah, I was in the military for a while, and then I decided to get out of that. I actually said I didn't decide. They kicked me out. He said, I was drinking so heavy that I am so belligerent. He said, they finally dismissed me. And he said, then I kind of realized I need to get my act together. And he's been in a Christian home all his life and that. And he just, but, you know, we each get a choice on how we walk every day. And then went back to church. He got a man that was mentoring him, did a great job, and then the man who was mentoring him committed adultery. And we got so many opportunities. I mean, I just think about how many pastors I know that have messed up in sin. And one of our commissions in this body is to do this very thing in Galatians, help restore people. Help get them back. Not judge them. And I'm telling you, not everybody does that. There's a lot of people out there that even though their life isn't very good, they don't mind condemning you. They don't mind judging you. They don't mind telling you that they're ashamed of you. But our Jesus said, I'm not ashamed of my brothers and sisters. And if Jesus isn't ashamed of us, man, dear God, I'm not going to be ashamed of anybody. And so wherever we go to restore. I want to go down a little farther. It says this. He says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. That means raise your nose to you. I don't know. I don't think that's very common anymore. That was an old thing, wasn't it? Kind of, you know, wasn't that an old term of snooty nose or something? I don't know. But just, you know, kind of arrogant, like make fun of somebody. So do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. This is my grandfather. My grandfather preached his very last sermon on earth at 100 years old. And he came to church, and they let him preach one more time at 100. And this was his text, what you sow, you will reap. He goes on to say, for the one who sows to his own flesh from his own flesh will reap corruption, but for the one who sows to his spirit will from the spirit reap eternal life. How many of you remember singing songs about Johnny Appleseed? Anybody? I think we even had a, didn't we in Vail, we sing a little prayer over our food that was about Johnny Appleseed? Well, Johnny Appleseed was a real person. And any of you are historians, don't correct me on this. You can correct me later. But I mean, there's a lot of different stories about this guy. I think he's born in 1774. But he went around, and he actually just wasn't like a goofy guy. He actually had a real vision, and he actually understood horticulture and stuff. And so he was planting apple trees. But as a kid, we sang a little song, so I guess, you know, and I think he had a tin pot on his head or something, you know, but they said he really didn't do that. But he did have a steel hat that he ate out of. A lot of times he was barefoot. But he loved nature. I think he was a little bit of a preacher for God and nature being the same thing or something. But he also, what he did was he'd go out and get land from the government that if you planted an orchard on it, they would give you the property. So he actually bought a lot of property, or got a lot of property, planted a lot of orchards. And then he'd come, you know, he'd plant them and then come back 3 or 4 years later, take the small apple trees and sell them for a profit. And so when he died, he had 1,200 acres. And they said he probably had a lot more than that, but he never kept records of where he went and where his land was, so his family couldn't even find out what he owned. But that was his life. And I was just thinking about this, just the seeds that we can sow every day of our life, the seeds that we can sow. In this last week, it was a great week. I mean, last month, went to Albania. We're getting good reports on all that. 15 pastors and their wives over there and just loved on them seed. The seeds that we sow, we can sow so many different seeds. We sow the Word of God. We teach people the Word of God. But we also just, the smiles that we give, the hugs that we give, the encouragement that we give, the prayers that we give, all these things are seeds, and all seeds grow. But there are also things that we can plant in other people's life that are not good. We can plant disappointment. We can plant shame. We can literally dislike people, and it goes into people's hearts. And it's what it means there when it says, you know, God will not be mocked. You're just saying, listen, it is going to grow. Everything will grow. So when you plant a seed, do you really want it to grow or not? Make sure. You know, think about it. Because when you plant a seed, it's small. It's not a big thing. It's just a little thing. It seems harmless. Kind of like a dandelion seed. It's real small. It blows in the air. Seems harmless until they take over your yard and grow deep roots and won't die. But on the opposite side, the seeds that we sow, and for our graduates and for everybody else, I encourage you to be aware that you can plant seeds all the days of your life. And it's not just it won't be just the big moments. It'll be some of those, but it'll be just little small moments too. Every time, every day, with friends, with the schoolmates, with anybody you meet, you can plant seeds of love and of faith and encouragement. Or you can plant seeds of disappointment, disgust, or criticalness, but they're all going to grow. I just met a man. I got a call that struggling with health and wanted to meet with a pastor, and said he hadn't been in church for a long time, and said what pastor would come and see him. You know, he said, who'd come and see me? I haven't been in church forever. And his wife said, I think I know one. She gave me a call, so I got to go visit with him. But when you come to the end, and man, for us parents, it does seem like it's a flash, and all of a sudden they're from diapers to graduation. But then even for the rest of us, I still don't feel old. But it did go fast. Lisa and I were talking the other night, and we got in bed just, you know, and I was a little bit low, like I said. And when I said, you know, just kind of hit me. I'm going to be next year hitting my 70s, and what's going to happen? And she says, you know, I'm all right with getting old. It just came faster than I thought. I got to laughing. Yeah, it just came faster than I thought it was going to come. I'm all right. It's going to happen, but I just, anyway. But for all of us, it's worth the time to stop and say, when I get to this point where I'm going to take my last breath and I look back on my life, am I going to be happy with what I sowed? Am I going to be happy with what I sold and what I got a harvest of? Because, folks, it's really easy. It's really easy just to get critical. It's just really easy to get judgmental. It's just really easy to get cynical. But those are all seeds going into people's hearts. On the opposite side, I look forward to my last breath, because in my last breath, I will be speaking prophetically over whoever's in the room. I guarantee you. It's my heart's desire. And when I go, I'm going to be speaking out blessings on who's ever around, and see a harvest of that. This last week, I had the privilege of teaching in Hallelujah International Bible School, HIBS. It's a Bible school that they started in Burma about a decade ago or so, and I'd go over there for a week and teach. And it was always an awesome time. And then when the government took over, and they wouldn't give us a visa, you know, couldn't get in, it's been dangerous. And so what they decided to do is start teaching the Bible school over Zoom, because they couldn't gather the people together safely anymore. It would, you know. So last year I taught, and it was like, I think it was 40 or 45 people. This year they called me up and said, hey, we're gonna will you teach again? I said, love to. And they said, well, we're going to have 120 students. And I go, wow, that's a lot of students on Zoom. And then I found out some of them are in Norway, some of them are in Australia. I go, what a crazy world we live in, that you can actually do this. So I did that this last week for an hour and a half or four nights. It's a challenge. It's a challenge to try to connect on the internet. It was so funny, because sometimes I asked, would one of the students like to read the scriptures? And you'd see the little, light come on, and they're speaking, and then you hear a rooster in the background, dogs barking, and that's all you can see in the background what's going on, and then about the second night, I was trying to look at the pictures while I was still talking, and I thought, man, I wonder if they all got allergies, because at the end, they were all pulling their glasses off, wiping the tears off. God was touching their hearts, and I got to think about what an awesome thing, 120 students who are from a country that's being oppressed, and the young people rising up, fighting for their freedom, fighting for their life, believing God that they'll not be shot, or something, and for their country. And they're intense, and they're listening. And I thought, what an opportunity our little body had to impart seeds to them. What we do is, there's a lot of people doing, like I said, but it's a little unique. Even the pastors, I just got a text from them this morning, and they were meeting, and they just said, John just has a different style than anybody else. And you just feel his heart of love. And we have that opportunity every day of our life to text people, call people, encourage people, write notes to them. Don't underestimate the value of the days that you have right now here on earth to say in encouraging things to people. Some people have no filter on being mean and critical to anybody, strangers or whatever else. But we actually have the freedom to have no filter to love on anybody. And once in a while, even in a grocery store or something else, just to see somebody and just by those, just trust the Spirit of God that's inside you to walk up sometime and just say, I don't know who you are or anything, but I just want to say, I see that God loves you. Or you might not even want to be that spiritual. Just say, I'm coming your way. And watch what God can do. Goes on to say this, let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who are of the household of faith. And I just want to encourage all of you, while you got good, while you got opportunity, do good. So figure out some way to just say, God, help me figure out how to throw more seeds. You know, when the Bible talks about sowing seeds, it was the sower used to just grab handfuls of seed and just throw it out. We use planters. We planted it in right depth and all that. But I kind of like the idea that we need to just grab the good stuff that's inside of us and the love that we have for people and just kind of fling it out all the time. Don't worry about if it lands on hard ground, soft ground, whatever. You all know how all that works out in the parable, but it's like, man, it's not hard to throw seeds out. Just throw them out by the handfuls and then let God raise them up. You never know who you're going to be touching. You just never know. There is a power inside of us. Everything. So I quit. Would you stand with me, please? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I shared this, and I share this quite a few places, but David said this, and he said, what can I render to the Lord for all his goodness to me? You know, there's times I feel so blessed. You know, I've been so blessed, so blessed, so blessed. And someone I said, Lord, I feel almost guilty I'm so blessed. What can I do to honor you? And this is what David said. And then by the Spirit of God, I believe David answered the question. And he says this. I'm going to say it together. What can I render to the Lord for his goodness and kindness to me? And David says this. I will lift up my cup of salvation. So if you don't mind being just a little childish today, you don't have to do this. You don't want to. You're free. Take your hand and make it like a cup. And just take it like this and go like this. And if you do that, what happens? You pour it out. If you want to be grateful to God, you want to honor God, just take your cup, pour it all out, and then go like this. God, fill it up again. Father, we lift up our cup of salvation. We just say to honor you, we want you to bless us more and more and more. We want you to pour into our hearts and into our lives. And I thank you that as these young people go, and as all of us go, our oldest one and the younger ones, I thank you that our cup of salvation is up and you'll pour in prosperity, you'll pour in healing, you'll pour in blessings, you'll pour in joy, peace, and gladness. You'll pour in strength and grace, Lord Jesus. Visions and dreams, hallelujah. In the midst of a dark world that's got so many depressing things going on, you will pour light into our cup. And as that light goes into our cup, it'll come into our every cell in our body, every thought in our mind. We'll push out all the dark thoughts. We'll cast them down. And we'll just let these great thoughts come in. And then we'll just let this beautiful love of the river of life come out of our mouth, our eyes, our hugs, everything. We'll just let it ooze out of us as we walk on this earth. And those seeds coming out of us will go into good soil of people's hearts, and it will produce a harvest. Lord, we are about our Father's business to see a great harvest of love and peace and victory throughout this whole world. We're taking it to the uttermost parts in Jesus' name. Amen. By the way, remember that young man that I was telling you about that got kicked out of the army? They're headed to Africa. He and his wife and three children are headed to Africa to be missionaries and to live there and share the gospel. He is so pumped about serving God. Isn't it wonderful to see people restored? Amen. Have a great week. God bless you.